In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. December contract for the soft red winter wheat for the afternoon at $8.56.5 was a penny and a half lower. The March at $8.72.5 down a quarter. And the May wheat at $8.79.75 was unchanged. July, $8.68, up 5.75. September there at $8.74.75, up 3.25. The hard red in July at $9.01.5 in Chicago, rather in Kansas City, a penny and a half lower on the day. December corn futures, 7.41.75, up 4.75. The March at 7.44.5, up 5.5 cents. May futures, 7.41.5, up 5.5. And July at 7.34.25, up 5.25. September corn, $6.60.5 for next year, a penny and 3/4 higher. Next year's December contract for the new crop at $6.37.25, up 1.5 cents. November beans on the day at $15.34.5, up 7.25. January 15.38, up 8.25. The March at 15.14, up 8.25. And the May at $14.65, up 4.75. July soybeans 14.48.25, up 5.5 cents. Next year's November, $13.72.75, 7.5 higher. Bean meal futures were up $3.50, and bean oil down 9 cents on the day. Live cattle futures in the Mercantile Exchange, December contract at 126.20, up 92.5 cents. February at 129.80, up 55. January feeders at 149.50 were $2.25 higher on the day, and February lean hogs at 83.87.5, up 62.5 cents. Let's check the numbers for Tuesday afternoon and how the futures ended up trading with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about today's trade and how it's been influenced by the big storm on the East Coast.
Well, of course, yesterday we had a lot of selling by a lot of the funds that were scared they wouldn't be able to get in and wanted to liquidate ahead of the storm, not knowing what was going to happen. That in a very thin market caused quite a bit of sell-off, and we bounced back overnight. We had some good news, basically, that China lowered their production figures quite a bit, and the announcement of quite a few purchases of beans over the last 2 days, and it buoyed the bean market up. We got November back to 1548. But we slipped as the afternoon went on, and basically the little better weather for South America, a little better chances of their crop coming on or getting planted in a little better conditions, and we only closed five and a quarter higher on the day. So a little bit of a disappointment as far as the beans and how they closed.
And there have been some concerns about volume at the CME group, at least by the group itself. Have you been watching them, how they've been holding out, especially this week when you might think things might be backing off?
Well, you know, I can tell you very honestly, we notice a lot of times a very lower volume with the 21 hours. Now, we say that they heard that they said they're not going to back off from what ice hours are, but I know that Bunge was pushing for it also, and we'd love to see him go back to about an 18-hour trading day instead of this 21.
Yeah, that was what I was getting at. In fact, Terry Duffy at the CME Group, who heads that organization, has said they're trading 21 hours, and the folks in the open outcry pit can cut their hours back if they want, and they can consider that, but that no matter what, as long as one of the competitors, ICE in this case, which is trading corn and soybean futures, would stay open 24 hours, the CME group would be as well, I suppose. So,
yeah, you know, just a very hard-headed attitude, and I think that we would get much better activity and volume during the time trade and not have quite the spread in the bid and offers if we were open less hours, but I'm not in charge.
You're not in charge. You do have some influence in terms of well, I'm sorry, not influence, but you do have some experience in trading when we closed the pit at 115 and the open outcry at 2 and then the electronic at 2 o'clock. That would be possibility again. That didn't seem to work particularly well for me.
That didn't work well. To be very honest, we'd be a lot better if we would move back and close at the old 115 time in both pits and go from there, and then have a little more time in between for the companies to get their bookwork done and their afternoon letters put out.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's go back to the marketplace. Farmers pretty much wrapped up in your area. What are they thinking about doing, if anything, at this time other than a little tillage?
You know, over here we're trying, a few guys trying to finish a few things on up, liking to get done, and it's either at the elevator or it's in the bin and the doors are locked, and they're waiting a little bit to see what happens here in the washout after the next report. So basically it's a not get too excited about things for right now.
Anything in your experience that producers should remember about the strange thing happenings in the basis levels and the wave movement is working in Indiana, Illinois, and then the northern parts of the Midwest? And I'm thinking if there might be something you learned from the time where a corn was flowing towards Ohio last year, as they were very, very late and you were trying to fill in and backfill needs there.
You know, I think that we've got very cautious differentials in the basis this year just because of the aflatoxin problems in some cases, Todd. But I think we know that trains are being bought out of North Dakota, out of Minnesota, out of Iowa, and that moving this way to some of the ethanol plants. And we're going to see that continue to happen as long as the ethanol plants are operating. But, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to do any better than we did last year on the real tight basis levels.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.